live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Chief Medical Officer has warned that COVID-19 is circulating at dangerous levels in Donegal. Meanwhile, Donegal TD Joe McHugh is confident that this will be the last lockdown and says society owes it to young people to ensure that is the case. Northern Ireland has taken a step towards reopening its economy with restrictions on retail pubs and restaurants easing today. And an exciting new place brand for Donegal has been officially launched this afternoon. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin as well as Nuked with Colm Fersher. First news this evening, the Chief Medical Officer has warned that COVID-19 is circulating at dangerous levels in Donegal. The 14-day incidence rate of the virus is more than double the national average at 295 cases per 100,000 people. Dr. Tony Hillhin says the situation in Donegal is extremely concerning for public health doctors locally, and he's appealing for community leaders within the county to encourage people to stick with the public health measures. While public health authorities on both sides of the border have issued a joint statement urging people to stick to key public health advice and exercise caution over the coming weeks, particularly with regard to cross-border activity. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The Public Health Agency in Northern Ireland and HSE in the Republic say as lockdowns ease in different ways either side of the border, people must continue to exercise caution and help limit the spread of coronavirus. They note some border communities have seen high levels of COVID-19 infection during the pandemic, so by acting responsibly, people will help keep case numbers down and ultimately save lives. While there's a temptation to travel either side of the border to engage in activities as lockdowns ease, they say, large gatherings could lead to cases rising significantly. The HSE's Public Health Director in the Northwest, Anthony Breslin, says if we collectively fail to stick to public health guidance, viral transmission will increase. No one, he said, wants lockdown measures being reintroduced, so everyone has a responsibility to continue to adhere to the guidance.
An additional 545 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed in the Republic today, along with four more deaths. 29 of the cases have been confirmed in Donegal. 139 patients are being treated in hospital for the disease, with 44 in ICU. Well, the Taoiseach has said that the figures on hospitalisations, ICU cases and deaths will be key when it comes to reopening the country. Ministers have accepted that there will be a rise in the number of new COVID cases as restrictions ease. However, it's expected they'll cause less illness in the community as the most vulnerable are vaccinated. Taoiseach Micheál Martin explains the figures he'll be watching as society reopens.
So the relationship between cases then and the impact on severe illness, the impact on death, the impact on hospitalisations, that's the key equation, if you like, and that's what we have to watch. And the degree to which those cases translate into very severe issues, if you like, around that illness, death and hospitalisations. So there's a range of variables there.
Donegal TD Joe McHugh is confident, however, that this will be the last lockdown and says society owes it to young people to ensure that is the case. He says since sports training for young people resumed in the past fortnight, there's a noticeable improvement in their mood.
Because of the phased nature of this opening, rather than going back to what we've been through in terms of, you know, even grandparents not being with grandchildren, and now with the double positive with the vaccine being rolled out, and I think Leo Varadkar was talking about a figure by beginning of June, we'd be talking about 450,000 a week. So we're moving, everything's moving together, the vaccine rollout, and you would imagine, like, we have to have hope, we have to have confidence that the community insulation that the vaccine will provide us will be something that we can work on together. But it's been a very, very, very long lockdown. I could see it last night where there were a few underage coaching sessions going on last night in Downings, and you can just see it. You can see it in the young people. There's a spring in their step. Our kids went to the athletics last night too. The figure, and I know that's right across the county, right across the country. Those young people that were in lockdown, we owe it to them to be, number one, to be careful in how we work together and how we continue to be vigilant with the virus, but we owe it to not to have them in lockdown for too long again.
Elsewhere, Northern Ireland has taken a big step towards reopening its economy with restrictions on retail pubs and restaurants easing. Queues for some stores started forming before dawn today. Niall Colbert reports.
The hustle and bustle of the high street returned in the north this morning as clothes shops and other non-essential retailers reopened for the first time in about 4 months. Some eager shoppers had been queuing since before dawn to get into the likes of Primark. In Belfast City, as the clock ticked closer to the earlier opening time of 7 a.m, hundreds of people had joined the queue. Economy Minister Diane Dodd says that was all to be expected.
People haven't been in the shops for around 4 months odd now, so lots of us, like myself, will want to get out, get into the shops, be down the town for a cup of coffee as well. So there'll be a little bit of pent-up demand immediately the shops open.
People can also work out in gyms or go for a swim in a swimming pool from today. Pubs, cafes and restaurants have also reopened, but with outdoor service only. This chef has told the BBC it's a really welcome step.
The key was turned this morning, the gas is on. We've been on all week prepping. Our orders have been coming on since last week. Our booking app has not stopped.
The North has also announced a voucher scheme to get citizens spending. Soon every adult there will be eligible for a £100 voucher to spend on the high street.
The chief executive of Donegal County Council says the current model of local government funding puts counties like Donegal at a disadvantage because equalisation funding is linked to local property tax. John McLaughlin was speaking after researchers at the Whittaker Institute in NUI Galway found that Donegal County Council has been underfunded and would receive more under a new revenue equalisation model they're proposing. An analysis of 2017 figures shows Donegal County Council to have the fifth highest deficit in the country at just over €7.5 million. John McLaughlin says an alternative model would be much more beneficial.
A better alternative would be not to link it to the individual property tax, just simply look at the, and back to what was called the needs and resources. What would rural counties need to prosper and perhaps set a 20-year horizon or 30 years to bring them there and give the funding and the investment that take it there? I think, and then over time, then you'd help pay back and you get a better balance to the Dublin development and rents and all those and quality of life. So all those things are improved for people. And you can stay locally and work locally on good paying jobs.
It's useful, I think, John, that there's an independent study from outside the county in a completely different region that crunches down the numbers and shows the facts there in black and white, and a little bit of commentary with it does no harm either, I'm sure, from your perspective.
No, absolutely not. And when we go and do our representations to central government, we always refer to those types of study as independent back. And we do our own analysis. In fact, we did one recently with Grant Thornton, Brex and so on, another independent study with its own label on it from international consultants who highlight the issues. And then it gives us better, it's not just Donegal staff saying, well, oh, sure, you would say that. It's others saying it too on our behalf and helps to give us more support. And we need all those things when we go to make the case.
A man has been arrested following the seizure of €65,000 worth of cocaine in Sligo. The drugs were found at a property in Sligo town last night. A small quantity of cannabis was also seized, along with weighing scales and several mobile phones. A man in his mid-20s was arrested at the property and is now being questioned at Ballymote Garda Station. The number of homeless adults has fallen to its lowest level in nearly 4 years. 8,060 people accessed emergency accommodation in March, according to figures from the Housing Department. In the Northwest, 80 people registered as homeless last month, down from 84 in February, 37 of them in Donegal. Four families with a total of 13 dependents accessed emergency accommodation in the region during March. It's emerged that Donegal County Council will not employ students this summer. Concern has been raised over the move, with many students banking on securing employment with the local authority over the summer months in a bid to help them prepare financially for the beginning of a new term. Donegal Senator Niall Blaney has highlighted the issue with the Taoiseach and has urged him to put a scheme in place for students. He says students have been hit hard enough this year as the country continues to deal with the pandemic.
As we know, students have been badly affected by the whole year of COVID as much as anybody else. But as well as that, students depend an awful lot on summer job in relation to keeping themselves in college for the following year. So with that in mind, I raised our parliamentary party this week with Atisha, and he's in agreement with me that local authorities of all years this year should be employing students. Not all jobs have to be indoors. He is working with Minister McGrath and Minister O'Brien with a view to writing to the local authorities to ask them to change that decision. It could be detrimental to many students if they don't get that summer employment, that summer work that, I suppose, ordinarily they would have had within the hospitality sector. With that in mind, you would hope that where employers generally have the capacity, that they would give students extra consideration this year.
And indeed, students would have looked towards holidays like summer and, say, Christmas, of setting them up for the term ahead.
Oh, absolutely. To try and counteract that, that's really what the appeal is about, to try and ensure that that financial gap is filled, because for many students, it could be the decision of whether they continue in student life or not. That's not something that you'd like to see. So if it's possible to overturn it at all, we're working to do so.
The Cross Border Workers Coalition says it's vital that anomalies in the tax system are resolved as work practices slowly begin to normalise. There is currently a provision in Irish law whereby cross-border workers who live in the Republic of Ireland but work in Northern Ireland are forced to pay a double tax if they work remotely. That has been temporarily set to one side during the pandemic, but the coalition says it must be permanently removed as previously promised. Calling for an immediate meeting with Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue, the coalition's co-chair Aidan O'Kane says the government is accepting the loss of €2 billion of corporation tax revenue, and similar flexibility must be shown to cross-border workers.
The requirements have been waived during the pandemic, but the way that people work has fundamentally changed, and the way businesses are reimagining the office space has changed. And at the moment, we're just waiting for the temporary solution to be made more permanent. And we've seen recently there that the Irish government have adopted new OECD tax proposals. They've accepted a loss of €2 billion euros corporation tax. This issue here is not even in the region of those sorts of figures. We believe that there is a solution.
Is it going to take a face-to-face meeting with Pascal Donoghue, or do you believe you can make some inroads by discussing this with his officials and with civil servants?
I think getting in front of Pascal is essential at this stage. We represent many businesses and many organisations and employees. And having that meeting face-to-face with Pascal, with his officials as well, is really important, just to convey the urgency and the impact that this is having on rural communities in the Border Necklace.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next-day delivery.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with badminton news, and Sam and Chloe McGee bowed out of the European Badminton Championships in the Ukraine this morning. Now, the Rafal pair lost their mixed doubles quarter-final tie to the top seeds in the competition. Marcus Ellis and Lauren Smith won in straight sets 21-7, 21-11 to send the McGees home. Despite the disappointment of losing, Sam and Chloe remain on track for qualifying for the Tokyo Olympics. They need to continue to hit the quarter-finals in the next series of competitions to gain a place at the Summer Games. Moving on to soccer, and the SSE Electricity League Premier Division action continues this evening for both Finn Harps and Derry City. First up, though, there's a couple of games starting at a quarter to six. Sligo Rovers, they're away to Drogheda United. Letterkenny man Shane Blaney, he's making his Sligo Rovers debut this evening in that game. And at Richmond Park, the leaders St Pat's, they host Longford. Later on, the reigning champions Shamrock Rovers, who are level on points with St Pat's, they make the trip to Ballybuffet to play Finn Harps. Former Finn Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman thinks Harps can trouble the Hoops tonight, who are unbeaten in 18 months.
I think so. You look at Finn Harps going to Dundalk last year and getting a point. You know, who would have thought that? Ollie and Paul Hegarty, they can set up a team. They're very difficult to play against. You know, they can play for set plays. Rovers now, give them credit, give St Pat's credit. You know, they've started the season really, really well. There is a different level. But in one-off games, and with the organisation and the discipline of the players that Ollie has acquired, you know, there's every possibility that they can get a draw. But you look on paper and you think, you know, it's a banker for Shamrock Rovers. But it wouldn't be my opinion anyway. It wouldn't be the banker that maybe some people might think.
And we'll have full live match coverage here tonight on Highland Radio with commentary from Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle from the kickoff time of 7.45. Well, Derry City, they hope to build on last week's win at Sligo Rovers when they go to Bohemians. Anthony Gorman says it's going to be a crucial period for Rory Higgins' side.
One of the positives down from the Sligo game is he kept a clean sheet, and the 3 points I honestly feel would have been a bonus to him, and it was a penalty in that. But it gives him a lift going into the Bows game now. He would have had a full week's training with them to put his own stamp on things. It's a big few months for Derry City, Oisin. They have to stay within touch of the Longford Waterford at the minute, stay within touching distance of them. When the window opens up in July, try and recruit and add a bit of experience to the squad.
That's also a 7:45 kickoff time, as is Waterford United, who host Dundalk. There's one game in the Irish League Premiership this evening when Anthony Gorman's he'll be in the dugout with his new side, Dungannon Swifts, when their game against Carrick Rangers. Elsewhere, the Republic of Ireland have been drawn in Group A for qualification for the 2023 World Cup. That's alongside Sweden, Finland, Slovakia and Georgia, as Vera Pauw's side look to make their first ever major tournament. England and Northern Ireland, they'll face each other in Group D as they bid to make the finals that will be held in Australia and New Zealand. In the Premier League tonight, cross channel, Leicester can take another step towards sealing Champions League football for next season. They're away to Southampton. And kickoff at St Mary's is at 8 o'clock. In other news, Manchester United have banned 6 of their fans for abusing Tottenham's Heung-min Son online following their Premier League match earlier this month. Chelsea, they have also banned one of their supporters for 10 years for posting anti-Semitic messages online. Players, sporting bodies and broadcasters are starting a 4-day boycott of social media this afternoon to protest against abuse. And Manchester United chairman or vice chairman Ed Woodward has admitted the European Super League was a mistake and that the club won't look to revive the plans. They were one of 6 English teams to sign up to the controversial competition before a huge backlash forced them all to pull out. Woodward told a fans forum he now wants to put it right, put right United's relationship with their supporters. In athletics, the World Athletic Relays will be held this weekend. Athletics Ireland have sent an Irish team to compete in Poland. The team is managed by Letterkenny AC's Theresa McDade. The heats start on Saturday evening with the finals on Sunday. In rugby, Ulster, they're away to Leicester in the last 4 of the Challenge Cup tonight from 8 o'clock. Ulster head coach Dan McFarland has made 5 changes to the team that were beaten by Connacht in the Rainbow Cup last weekend. And Ross Byrne will make his 100th appearance for Leinster when he starts at number 10 in this Sunday's Heineken Champions Cup semi-final against La Rochelle. Luke McGrath, he'll captain the Blues, who have named 15 Irish internationals to start against Ronan O'Gara's side. In snooker, last year's beaten finalist Kieran Wilson leads Sean Murphy by 10 frames to 4 in their World Snooker Championship semi-final. The first to 17 at the Crucible will advance to the decider. 3-time champion Mark Selby, he leads Stuart Bingham by 9 frames to 7. And in golf in the European Tour, the Tenerife Open's taking place this week. Leading the way is Germany's Nikolai von Dellinghausen. He's on 16 under par, 4 ahead of Scott Hend and Scott Jameson. They're both on 12 under. The best of the Irish is Jonathan Caldwell. He's 8 under. Niall Kearney is 4 under. And on the PGA Tour this week, it's the Valspar Championship in Florida. Leading the way at early in the second round is Max Homa. He's 9 under through 14 holes, 1 ahead of Lucas Glover. Graham McDowell, he's going to miss the cut. He's on 5 over par through 17 holes. And in motorsport, Lewis Hamilton's had a bit of a struggle in the first practice session ahead of this weekend's Portuguese Formula 1 Grand Prix. Britain's world champion could only manage the 5th fastest time, with his Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas setting the pace. Red Bull's Max Verstappen, he was 2nd. Well, just to remind you that the Premier Division tonight in the Airtricity League, 7.45 is the kickoff time. Finn Harps up against Shamrock Rovers. Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle will have the full game on commentary here on Highland Radio. That's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And finally in news, a new place brand for Donegal has been officially launched. Today's official unveiling of the new Donegal place featured a celebration of Donegal life, success, education, culture and music. The new place brand driver, Ireland's DNA, showcases the county's offering and facilitates its role as a key driver of regional growth in Ireland over the coming years. A revamped Donegal.ie website has also been unveiled. Speaking during the virtual launch, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McCullough, Conlogue says the new brand showcases everything that is good about Donegal on a national level.
In my opinion, this new place brand represents all that is good in Donegal and encapsulates who we are and what we are. As we move from the difficult days of lockdown, we see emerging trends of a permanent increase in demand for remote working. And given Donegal's beauty and natural pull, we have an opportunity to increase tourist numbers, but also numbers of those who wish to work remotely but live in our fine county. This brand gives us the opportunity to provide a strong identity for the region, allows us to promote it as a great place to work, to live, to invest, to study and to explore. And it showcases Donegal and everything that is good about it to a national and international audience.
Weather now this evening will bring a mix of bright spells and variable cloud along with a few passing showers. Lowest temperatures tonight of -1 to +3 degrees with a slight frost forming overnight. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Chief Medical Officer has warned that COVID-19 is circulating at dangerous levels in Donegal. The 14-day incidence rate of the virus is more than double the national average at 295 cases per 100,000 people. Donegal TD Joe McHugh is confident that this will be the last lockdown and says society owes it to young people to ensure that this is the case. He says since sports training for young people resumed in the past fortnight, there's a noticeable improvement in their mood. It's emerged that Donegal County Council will not employ students this summer. Concern has been raised over the move, with many students banking on securing employment with the local authority over the summer months in a bid to help them prepare financially for the beginning of a new term. And the Cross Border Workers Coalition says it's vital that anomalies in the tax system are resolved as work practices slowly begin to normalise. There is currently a provision in Irish law whereby cross-border workers who live in the Republic of Ireland but work in Northern Ireland are forced to pay a double tax if they work remotely. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nuix with Colm Ferriter, and we'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Seamer Mahasa Colm Ferriter and Shaw Linda Preve Skelty. Sholus game ur and chart in Shaw the Hishmohori, Kolya a oil and Gaelic, Fui Remsha Yahandawar. Sraktal her and skim Fui Homerka and the Moor Agriokta, Changa Glor and Ingale, a chorus la Comish Leherukta, Ja Shangahis a Karakon Tossi, Nafios a car la Skillina Social to Poesti a Tahogal, the Gaelic Sawala, to Forma Eritish er Foyle. Le Dolly Jangle, the Sanyoli, are in Remsha da Hour, Fridge and Sieve Changa T, his Carter, a Corlia, or Foil Siren Ashka, Ga Olus, a Glorning Ale, Bunkai E. Sholu Tror Lynch, a Covid and E. Jeg, the Arnil, the Gollish G. Gilliga, Namalov, a Curran, the Fuss, a Locked Stuart, and the Gollish G. Gilliga. A Balakontossi, the Nicolish G. Saudi, the Sesher Shaw. Jurair Conyilaha, Fuilai, a Jur Level Hain, Gujia Kuig. A carty choran, lish, and lean is mo scholarly, a vase and an fanner to glahar, arihe, sakas, goro, curtry, and an golariam liana. Togu curru de ga college to Gaeliga, a athneter, fuin chorus, frastal or crinu erlina, conturme a coronul, fuin the tror linchi, agus ractali o crinu, fuin the hawer, le scach group and the golishti sauri, le lin the shaktinia. Carter Foilcha River and Fogra Gome Mwinu, the Hodge Hain Puncha Hart Million, Carter or Foil, the Arbert Kuin, Altsen Koran, Jenher Forignev Kreeforch, Arantorukta, a Hogal, Forignev Fentriakta, a Komai, Le Hebrehe Infrastructure, a Kari Griech, Egg and Laher. To Foilcha Carter, a Connor Nigeliga River, Wanu, Wall Larna Ashtrahan, a V Maravi Galta, so go into Re Nua Kar Higanua, a Nuri, is infrastructure Ashtrahan, a Tas of Wall Ur, a Vesic Frastel, Irritish, Ashtrahan, Agus a Veser Foiled, and the Rani Realtis, the Colic, the Publi, agus do chorlí atúla ó hui. Agus tá cuasa nua géige cartha ar fáil ag an ETB gún an all. Dífa sin a teag obair san airneil idehes bei an cuasa seo a tholaithir ar lína, cos ghlachar le hiirithis atúbí ar fod na tíre. Ráctal thar a scrúdú da na ranfáir tíha an cuasa san jara don bhlín seo hogin. Sta teilu olis ag an sív TEG Bonkai E. Sian mahoj sa eligolier slán agus barakt.
The obituary notice is for this Friday evening, April the 30th. The death has taken place of Bridget Coyle, Garvery, Burntfoot. Requiem Mass on Sunday afternoon in St. Murray's Church Fawn at 1 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly for family, with a limit of 25 people permitted. Bridget's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. The death has taken place of Francis McEnany, née Boggs, 15 Melmount Gardens, Strabane, and formerly of Lower Main Street, Strabane, funeral leaving her home on Sunday at 12 noon for Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 12:30, followed by interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Dementia NI, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv. The death has taken place of George O'Hagan, Old Mountain, Linsfort, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 9:15, travelling via the Blackland to Star of the Sea Church, Desert Tegney, for a 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired can be made to Cree. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to family and close friends only, please, with a limit of 25 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Trudy Peoples, Sleaf Snack Road, Letterkenny, formerly of Glencar Irish. Her remains will repose at her sister Catherine's residence at 51 College Park, Glencar, Letterkenny, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there at 11:30 on Sunday morning, going to St. Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for funeral mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Ulex Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are strictly private to family only, please.